The message this morning is titled, The Creation of Everything. And we're not going to cover the entire chapter of Genesis this morning. It is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 31. But we're not going to be able to cover it all because there's so much in that very first chapter. One of the things that we see is the Bible agreeing with what scientists also say. There was a beginning to our universe. And in fact, most Christians, atheists, and agnostics agree on that. Surprise, surprise, we are in agreement on something. Agnostics are defined as people who like to keep an open mind, but when you get talking to most agnostics, you discover that they're actually atheists trying to appear tolerant. Atheists outright reject God or any intelligent designer, and most who call themselves agnostics do exactly the same thing, most that I've met anyway. The problem for the atheists is that anything outside of natural cause is unacceptable to them, because it would then require the possibility of having to answer to an all-powerful moral being, which is something they simply don't want to do. That's where socialism comes from, by the way. Karl Marx, who is one of the fathers of modern socialism, that's what communism is, it's socialism. Communism, fascism are two sides of the same socialist coin. And Karl Marx said that his goal was to get rid of capitalism and God. That was his goal. That's the atheist goal. Why capitalism? Well, because capitalism recognizes the value of hard work and good moral character. Socialism does not. And most atheists outright reject God or any intelligent designer. They don't want that. The problem with rejecting an intelligent designer, with rejecting God, you don't have to beat around the bush and say intelligent design. I've heard people doing that and they consider themselves to be very tolerant and open-minded people. But why say intelligent designer? Why not just say God? An intelligent designer is almighty. An almighty power, and that's the definition of God. That's what God means. But they have a real big problem when they reject God, and that's their explanation of the origin of life, and indeed the origin of everything. The natural world, in their worldview, must create itself, which their own science says is impossible. There is a very clear answer, and it is completely logical. In the beginning, God, the supreme intelligent designer, created everything. That's beautiful logic. Beautiful logic. Let's stand together as we turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll very quickly read the whole chapter. If you can't stand that long, please don't feel obligated to. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Father, as we look at your word about the creation of the world, the creation of everything, we pray that you would speak to our hearts even this morning and in the weeks ahead as you will and as you keep us here. Father, we pray that we would have a real solid foundation as we go through this study and be able to really speak to those around us in this world with understanding and confidence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is very important to have a strong foundation. And that's missed quite often today, which is very unfortunate. The Old Testament is often thought of as somewhat irrelevant for Christians. Some of it is openly denied. Some of it is allegorized. And then we try to present a kind of gospel, and more in today's world it's getting watered down, and it's become more of a kind of a formula where if you pray this prayer, your life is going to improve. And the understanding of why we have to have anything to do with somebody named Jesus is covered up completely. Maybe not necessarily on purpose, certainly by the people that are doing it, but that's what the result is. People don't know really who Jesus is or why he had to go to the cross. And when we study Genesis, very early in the book of Genesis, within the first few chapters, we come to a very good understanding of why we need a Savior. So it's important to study and see what God has done. And today what we're looking at is what happened in the beginning, the very beginning. And in the beginning, God created everything. And it was very good, as we just read. God created everything by his own power. He simply spoke all things into existence. Remember, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's a spirit. A spirit isn't something that is material. It isn't something that you can necessarily see unless God, by his power, makes himself visible. But it's not like the physical world in any way, but God, in his power, spoke the physical world into existence. Now, imagine that. Think about this. Try to get a little bit of a grasp of this fact that God, first of all, imagined it. There wasn't any physical world in the beginning. What we see and what we're familiar with didn't exist. And God, first of all, imagined this world that we know today is so incredibly complex. He imagined every single tiny, tiny detail of it, and he spoke it into existence. When we read that he spoke these things into existence, and he said, let this be, and let this be, and let this be. When he said, let this be, in his mind, every detail of that thing he was saying was all there, taken care of. It had to be, or it wouldn't have worked. Imagine a mind that incredible. You can imagine everything down to the tiniest atomic particles, and even the particles that make up the atoms. That's our God. That's how amazing he is. The things that were made were not made out of things that already existed, but by the very word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, through faith, and it's a reasonable faith, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He didn't take stuff already there and make something out of it. He created something entirely new from scratch. Our faith, by the way, is a reasonable, logical faith. Our faith is not a leap in the dark, but it's a faith based on the evidence of a universe that had a beginning and necessarily a primary cause who has revealed himself to us as Almighty God. If you want an example, by the way, of a leap of faith, not a reasonable faith, but a leap of faith, it is the atheist position. A position that says that everything came from nothing. There's absolutely no, it's not even a matter of being no logic for that. There's absolutely no scientific evidence for that whatsoever. Nothing. So what we're going to look at this morning is the first part of this, the fact that creation began with God. We're talking about the creation of everything. And there is no more simple, plain, yet utterly profound statement to be found anywhere than what we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It is an amazing statement. Simple, concise, logical, profound. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There you have it. You know what happened? You know when it happened? It happened in the beginning. And we know what the primary cause was. It's God, right there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word translated heaven refers to everything above, which includes the sky, the place where the stars are, and the universe. Everything above where we are is what's referred to by the word heaven. That's what the Hebrew word meant. Everything above where we are is the heaven. And it encompasses everything that's not on earth, including the universe. The entire universe is part of that. That's the heaven. The word translated earth, surprise, surprise, refers to our planet. And that includes the entire planet and anything or anyone that is on it or in it. That's what word earth means. So where did it all come from? That's the question. One of the questions. How did the universe actually begin? Where did life come from? And every one of these questions is succinctly answered in Genesis 1:1. God did it. Simple. It's incredibly sad that so many very intelligent and well-educated people are spending their lives believing the lie that the universe and everything in it created itself. And a lot of people have convinced themselves or been convinced that this is true. Such a belief is appallingly illogical. Yet it is embraced, especially by the well-educated, as a myriad of evolutionary scientists and their acolytes say, the alternative is unthinkable. That's why. The alternative is unthinkable. That is a quote. The alternative is unthinkable. And I looked it up, and it's actually been quoted many times by a lot of different people for the same reason. The alternative to a universe that created itself is unthinkable. The alternative is a living, all-powerful, intelligent creator. And to them, that's unthinkable. That leads to the very uncomfortable possibility that those who reject him will one day have to face him. And that is unthinkable to evolutionary thought. Unthinkable. Reject anything that even goes there because it's unthinkable. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 covers everything that exists anywhere, including time, space, and things, or we could say mass, if you want to get scientific. There can be no question about what it's saying. The Bible opens with the clear and absolute statement that God created everything. It includes everything in that one sentence. So then the question comes up, okay, but what about this thing we've heard about our whole lives? What about the Big Bang? What the Big Bang theory recognizes and Christians know is that everything began suddenly. We're looking at the same thing. We're looking at the same data. It's not that the atheists have the wrong data. Is they're not looking at it properly. They're making a leap in the dark to try to explain it without a primary cause. They want the cause itself to be the primary cause, which is not possible, not logical. The Big Bang theory has problems that are too numerous to list. We just can't go through them all in the time we have. The universe is apparently expanding at a measurable rate, and that proves that it had a beginning. Why does it prove it had a beginning? Because you can calculate from the present rate of expansion the maximum possible age of the universe. You can go back from that, and you can see the oldest it could possibly be. That's just a matter of the data that is observed, is showing that. Now, there are problems, obviously, with the way some of the data is seen or calculated or figured, but it's looking at the same thing. It shows that there was a beginning. There's another problem. Where is it expanding? And in fact, where is it? Where did all that material that exploded come from? Again, the answer given by secular scientists is extraordinarily illogical, but you're not supposed to notice that. Pick up a textbook, start reading. A university-level biology textbook is a good one to pick up. Start reading, and you will discover that there are pages upon pages upon pages of words and sentences and paragraphs and statements being made that actually say nothing if you carefully read it. Secular scientists now say that the Big Bang occurred when a quantum dot exploded. Unfortunately for that theory, it offers no logical explanation of where the quantum dot came from. Quantum dot is supposed to be a point too small to see because it has such incredible gravity that it's compressed so much that you can't see it. Some suggest that a collapsing universe caused by a black hole became this infinitely small, dark, and invisible dot due to incredible gravity, which exploded and miraculously became our universe. But they now say that. You're supposed to accept that. The very first obvious problem with that is that you have to compress everything that's in the universe, whose size they don't even know, and some say it's infinite. You have to compress all that into a point too small to see with any kind of instrument. Virtually nothing. So assume zero since it's so small, and in fact that way the math will work. After all, they tell us, and this is another fact, the secular science, tell us that nothing is very unstable stuff. I'm not kidding. Nothing is very unstable stuff. It has to become something because it's very unstable stuff. And by the way, making a point so small you can't see it, so it's approaching zero in size. And so they say that for calculations, you can take something that's approaching zero in size. They have something called absolute zero. It's not just referring to temperature, but it's also referring to the actual real zero. But there's approaching zero, which you can assume is zero. So when you plug it into a calculation assuming it's zero, bingo, the math works. Problem is you've assumed something that's not true. Others suggest that the universe is just one universe in an endless, infinite series of big bangs that eventually collapse to become a quantum dot. Quantum string and quantum foam theory, which has never been proven other than as an equation on a blackboard, suggests that there are an infinite number of universes all at the same time, and that when the little points come up into, you know, your little points come up out of the foam, to where you are, that's where you happen to be at this particular time. That's the universe you're in, is all these little points come up out of that foam into where you are. That's you, okay? This is a theory. That's your present reality, okay? Quantum foam, your present reality. Now, this is pure Eastern mysticism and reincarnation wrapped up in scientific jargon. That's what it is. It's religion. That's where it comes from. Please note at the same time as we're talking about this that it is a lie that you can prove anything true with math. Or let's put it another way. If you could prove that something is true with math, it's true. That's a lie. That's what they tell us. If you can prove something's true with math, if the math works, then it's true. That's reality. We just talked about that. The math works if you make something equal nothing. Then it will work. Problem is, it's not true to start with. You're making an assumption. And that's how theoretical math works. Theoretical math is a lot of what we know, and it's what was used by Stephen Hawking, who just recently passed away, brilliant man. But he's the one who said, "Eureka, I figured it out. I finally figured out how the universe can exist without God. Gravity did it." He's spent so much of his life assuming things that he forgot reality. He forgot about reality. Theoretical math, which is what he used to come to that conclusion, says assuming this, than this. Remember your geometry, stuff like that? That's what it said, assuming this, then this. That's how you were able to do proofs of theorems. Theorems are things that you can't prove. That's why they call them theorems. They're based on theory. They're based on assumptions. And if you assume certain things to begin with, and they give you the things that you're allowed to assume, then you can turn around and prove based on those assumptions that this is true. And it will work if you assume these things. There's a problem with that. You can't prove it. The assumptions themselves are not, they're unproven. In other words, you can make almost any wild leap you want to once you figure out what you have to assume first. Somebody once said that, you know, the statistics prove that more men get loaded at Christmas time than boxcars. That's math. Creation began with God, and there's nothing more logical than this, that the natural world had a primary cause, and that primary cause is God. In spite of statements like nothing is incredibly unstable stuff, so it was only a matter of time before it exploded into something, the reality is that nothing is still the total absence of anything. It's the absence of anything. It's utterly powerless to create something. It's a deception to pretend that nothing is something. It's a deception. And the sad thing is they're deceiving themselves. It's a very sad deception because those using it and belittling Christians for not believing it and teaching it to university students are in fact both willingly deceived themselves and they're deceiving countless others. Nothing is nothing. Emptiness, void. Even a small child knows this. It's interesting because a small child, a young child, knows very quickly what nothing is. What's in your hand? Nothing. Why do they say that when they actually have something? Because they want you to believe that they didn't steal anything. They got nothing. I remember, again, my young grandson, when Stephen Hawking came out with that statement that gravity created everything, he jumped up, he said, "Where did gravity come from?" Just a child could figure that out. The logic of a child sometimes is much better than the logic of a well-educated person, because we're sometimes educated with stupid ideas. It's not that we're stupid even, it's that we have been convinced that stupid things are true. Nothing is nothing. It requires much education and brainwashing to finally believe that nothing is something, and further, that nothing has the power of creation. And the reality of it is that they, secular science, is come to the unbelievably illogical conclusion that nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, is the name of the primary cause of the universe. Now instead, we believe that the Bible is true and that God is the primary cause. And in fact, this is completely logical. When we believe what the Bible says, we believe that in the beginning, God, who is all-powerful, who resides in eternity, outside of space and time, created everything by his own power. We recognize what is logical, that the physical world had to be created by an incredible power that is outside of the physical world. Couldn't happen any other way. That's logic. I don't know how many Christians that I know have told me that they weren't Christians and they were looking for answers, and when they opened the Bible, and these are smart people, suddenly there was the logical answer. Boom. Everything suddenly made sense. When we know that God, this power, resides in eternity outside of space and time, we then know where the universe is. You know, some of these people I read on a website written by a scientist, he said, when people ask where the universe is, that's a stupid question. You know what he's saying by saying that? He's saying, you don't want to be stupid. That's not a nice thing. You really don't want to be stupid, so don't ask questions like that so that you don't get labeled stupid. And that's what a lot of evolutionary so-called science does. There's whole documentaries like that where they, one big one where they were talking to creation scientists and talking to evolutionary scientists. Both of them well-educated, both of them very smart. These weren't stupid people. And the creation scientists, when asked a question, it was a secular journalist, asked a question about some particular thing, gave a scientific explanation. But looking through the eyes of somebody who knows the Bible's true, it was still a very scientific explanation, and a good one. But when they asked the secular scientists exactly the same question, and both scientists knew what was going on, they knew this journalist was asking creation scientists and secular scientists, so when they asked the same question to the secular scientist, rather than give a scientific explanation for the question he was being asked, he spent his entire segment bashing Christianity as being stupid and not science. There's a pattern to that, and it's continuous, and it goes on all the time. You will find that. You can find that on the internet. Every time you look up anything to do with origins and beginnings, if there's any hint that there's any Christians there at all, the secularists who are on there spend the whole time insulting and belittling and using bad language to bash Christianity. They don't provide facts. I look for an alternative theory about what happened, something that makes sense. It simply isn't there. It really is sad. What's really sad is so many people believe in this stuff, and there's no basis for it. We have the answers. Don't be ashamed to share the gospel. Don't be ashamed to share the word of God with people, because it makes sense. We know where the universe is. God, who is eternal and resides in eternity, created the universe within that eternity. Where is the universe expanding? It's expanding, sitting in eternity. It's expanding into eternity. Space, time, and things are part of that universe. Time began in the beginning when God created everything. That's the answer. Everything is explained. There's a saying, and I don't want to use the way it's commonly said because it's kind of vulgar, but there's a saying that when you can't dazzle them with brilliance, you baffle them with baloney. And that's what goes on all the time. These great, thick, heavy textbooks, university textbooks, you pick them up and you start to read them. Biology is a great one to start with because it's really thick with that nonsense. You read it, and it's not sharing any real truth. It's not even sharing anything that really makes any sense. It is pages upon pages upon pages of stuff to overwhelm you with the sheer weight of it. It's not truth, and it's not even logical. It's meant to get you to stop asking questions. That's the point. If you pile so much on, eventually you'll stop people from asking questions. And if you happen to let it be known in a university science class that you are a Christian, look out. Because the professor will come after you and everybody else with him. They'll gang up on you like ravening wolves. And any other Christians in the room will never let it be known that they're Christians. But when we believe, here's the thing, when we believe that God created everything, everything that we observe, all the data actually fits perfectly. It's not a mystery anymore. It fits. It fits beautifully. There's no ambiguity. You know, there's Christians today, unfortunately, theologians today, trying to marry science, secular science, with our Bibles, and trying to change what we've just read this morning and make it say things that it doesn't say, and trying to somehow help God along because it's too difficult to do it the way our Bible said. But we're talking about God here, who is all powerful. That means he's infinite in power. Nothing's too difficult for God. We're going to look at more at some of this stuff, God willing, in the weeks ahead as we look at a few more things and we see a few of the other things that people say are absurd. And we're going to take the time, Lord willing, to go over these things a little bit slower than I have in the past when I preached on some of this stuff because it's so important. Things like light coming before the stars and the sun and the moon and all those things. We've got to remember that God is omnipotent. We don't have to assume things that we can't prove in order to make calculations work. We don't have to redefine nothing as something. In the beginning, God created everything. Time, space, and things began in the beginning. All created by God. Everything was created by God by his power and according to his design. And scientists see design in everything. There's no doubt then that God has the right of ownership of everything, including the right to create the rules and to rule. As we read in our text this morning, everything God created was very good. That's the way it was when he created it. And that's no longer the case. As upcoming passages explain, that's because man decided that he knew better than God, bringing sin into the world, and as a result of that sin, death and separation from God. That's what happened. Yet the Bible also teaches that God was prepared for anything when he created everything. And he had already prepared a Savior to reconcile sinful man to himself. Nothing surprised God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. God was ready. Sin is the problem that is slowly corrupting everything from its original perfect creation, but Jesus is the answer. He shed his blood and died in our place to take away our sin, and all who place their faith in him have everlasting life. That is the message of the Bible, and it's standing on a strong foundation, the foundation of the creation of everything by God himself. We have a sure word in the Bible. We have a sure Savior in Jesus Christ. Don't be apologizing. What you have in your hands is true, and it is logical, and it is scientific. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.